Philip Van Winkle has been in the study of the book of 3 John. And now, here's Philip.
In 3 John chapter 1 and verse 7, you will remember that John has been writing and he's been talking about this man named Gaius and encouraging him and commending him for his faithfulness in helping out missionaries and preachers. And he says in verse 7, "Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles." They here, of course, being the preachers and the missionaries, we would call them today. Here's the reason why the brethren who go forth should receive our support. Notice, "because that for the sake of the name, his name, they went forth, taking nothing from the Gentiles." To do something for the sake of actually literally means in behalf of, or in his name, or by his authority for. Because of the sake of Christ, these preachers are now going forth. It is in behalf of Christ that these preachers go forth. It is for the sake of the name that they suffer hardship. It is for his sake. In fact, that's what Paul would say in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, look at it, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." What are you saying, Paul? You mean if I go out and I start preaching, I'm going to have some hardship? Yes, as a matter of fact. I'm going to have hardship for the sake of his name. You and I, if we are preaching the word of God, will have hardships come our way. Specifically, in this New Testament time, that these preachers would go forth and they would have a very hard time because they were, not long after this, going to become very hardly persecuted. And yet, they suffer, it says, for the sake of, or in the name of, Christ. What a tremendous example for you and I today. What a great example Gaius is for us to do more to help those who are spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as these gospel preachers would go forth, it says, "and they went forth," as they would go forth, notice it says they took nothing of the Gentiles. One thing we see from this passage is that men who gave themselves completely to the work of preaching the gospel are dependent on somebody, right? They depend on somebody. How are these preachers going to go out and preach if they don't have food? Well, how are they going to get food if they don't have money, right? So they have to depend on someone. Well, this tells me they're not depending on people outside of the church. That only leaves one group of people for them to depend on, people inside of the church. Guyon Woods says this about this verse. He says, "It would have been inappropriate for these who carried the message of salvation to depend for support on those to whom they preached. Such would have exposed them to the charge that they sought material advantage for themselves, and that their preaching was merely a pretext to obtain money. There is nothing which so quickly wins men to a sympathetic hearing as the realization of complete unselfishness on the part of those who bear the message, and it is absolutely requisite that in all missionary efforts, the missionaries be wholly independent financially and materially of those to whom they preach." We need to remember that the Bible condemns those who are making merchandise of the Word of God. That is, charging people money to preach the gospel of truth to them to save them. Many people in denominational groups seem to specialize in milking the ignorant, milking the unconverted out of hundreds of millions of dollars every year. Not only are people being taught error, but they're paying millions of dollars to have their souls lost. The church of the Lord, that is us, people in the Lord's church, the church of Christ, are to stand in contrast to those denominational efforts. We don't charge people to hear the gospel. John reminds us it is a privilege and a responsibility to those who have obeyed to support evangelistic work. They didn't take money from the Gentiles. Verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. We should support gospel preachers and missionaries. Why? So that we can be fellow workers for the truth. If the first reason for supporting preachers is that they are our brethren and we should honor them for going out for the sake of their name, then the very second reason that we should is a much more practical one. They have no other means of support. We need to support them because we can't ask the heathen to do it. We must support preachers, number one, because they are our brethren. We need to support missionaries because they're our brethren and we should honor them in doing the Lord's work. But also, we need to support them because we won't ask the heathen to do it. It makes them be preachers for hire, preachers for gain in the minds of the people that they are trying to reach. I send out some support to a missionary over in Australia, and he sends me a letter, and it does my heart good to know that I have a part in his work. Every soul that he comes in contact with, every soul that he reaches, I have some small part in that. But I want us to look at this word, ought. It says, we therefore ought to receive such. This is the word ought. Now, we've talked about this word before. It's the Greek word aphaleo. It's not like this. We say the word ought today to mean, hey, you know what? We ought to go have hamburgers for lunch. But then we get in the car and we change our mind and we say, oh, well, never mind. Let's go have pizza instead. Well, that's the word ought, how we use it. That's not this word. This is the word aphaleo. That is the word we are under obligation. It is our duty. It is something that we place upon us. It's our debt, actually. That's what it means. We are in debt to do it. We owe it. We therefore, it says, ought to receive such. We therefore are in debt. We owe it to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. And so he's not simply saying, you know, it'd be nice if we could help out some missionary. That might be a nice thing for us to do. We ought to do that sometime. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, oh, no. You owe it. You're under obligation to help them. He gives another reason. We therefore ought to receive such, notice, that we might be fellow helpers in the truth. This is something I just mentioned about a missionary over in Australia. When I send him money, I'm saying to him, here is some support. And he is saying to me when he writes me back, hey, we have converted X amount of people this month, and because of your support, you also take part in it. You are a fellow helper to the truth. The third reason, another reason, and this is the one we're talking about, is that we can be fellow helpers for the truth. Paul used the word fellow worker to describe those who would accompany him and who would work with him. You remember what Paul says about Epaphroditus in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25? He says, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, your messenger, and that he ministered to my wants. And then he says down in chapter 4 and verse 3 of Philippians, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other of my fellow laborers whose names, notice, are in the book of life. Maybe it is the case that you cannot go to a foreign land and preach. But can you help someone who does? Maybe you can't go to a school of preaching and become a preacher, but can you help someone who wants to do that, who has a desire to save souls? the same word is used here with reference to those Christians who supply the gospel preachers with money to go forth. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 15, it says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I want to ask a question. Do you want the world to be saved? I know probably most people listening to this would say, yes, absolutely. The question is, how are you going about doing it? You say, well, I have a job, and I live here with my family, and we've got roots here at this home, and we can't afford to go overseas to do mission work. Well, maybe you can't, but can you send finances to help them? A preacher, a missionary, cannot go unless he is sent. But he cannot be sent if he doesn't have any way to support himself when he gets there. And so in supporting gospel preachers, you and I become fellow workers with the truth. 2 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, it says, "To harbor a false teacher is to have fellowship with his wicked works." What is the opposite of that? If we show hospitality to a man who's a false teacher, and God says you're a partaker of his evil deeds, the opposite of that is, if we show hospitality to those who hold up the truth of the gospel, we cooperate with them, then we are fellow helpers with the truth. Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 41, "He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." And so let us look at Gaius as a great example for how we are to live our lives, helping gospel preachers, helping missionaries, supporting the church. And may God help us all as we do our best to spread the gospel to a lost and dying world.